Well, he's done it again. Dan Snyder has made national news. This time it's from ESPN with a bombshell investigative report on all the schemy and sleazy and underhanded dealings of the Commanders owner. It's depressing. It's frustrating. It makes me angry. It generates all sorts of feelings that, frankly, fans shouldn't have to have with their football team. Supposed to be about wins and losses and tackles and blocks and running backs and parlays and beer and hot dogs. It's not supposed to be about an owner that has ruined a franchise. And yet, here we are.
On the football field, the action happens in the blink of an eye. It's like that off the field, too, when you've been injured. In a split second, your life is changed. Whether on the field or in the courtroom, when you've been injured, you need the right teammates by your side. You need Chase and Boscolo, a law firm willing to protect and fight for your rights. On the football field or in the courtroom, having the right team determines whether you win or lose. When injuries change your life, call Chase and Boscolo, trial lawyers that care.
What up, everybody? It's JP Finley. This is a special, weirdly, Thursday. I don't even know what time it is. So the game is tonight. We'll do a regular game podcast tonight. Right now, we're doing a Dan podcast because this new ESPN report demands it, basically. And there's just so much in it. It was like, if you printed that thing out, how many pages would that have been? Mitch Tischler's here. Pete Haley's here. Let's get your reaction to the report, boys. I kind of laid mine out in the opening there. The worst part for me is I'm not sure I'm surprised by any of it because we're just so used to behavior.
Look, this is more layered than like 10 things of lasagna stacked onto each other, and there's so much to unpack. But I think the main crux of it is that we've all suspected or thought that Dan would maybe be vindictive if it came down to him being removed or owners trying to remove him, and he would go down with a fight. And it sounds like he's prepared for that, with him purportedly having dirt on many owners and Roger Goodell. And this mutually assured destruction, or at least the threat of it, could be enough to just have him stay in power. Now the owners have other ways. They could try and keep the stadium from him and keep the money away for him to build a stadium. They could try to get Tani to take over, et cetera. So it sounds like they're looking at ways to get him out, because it sure seems like enough of them hate him and hate what he's done to this franchise. But yeah, the one quote that stood out to me the most, he's behaving like a mad dog cornered. And for Dan, he's not going down without a fight. We've long said this, JP has long said that, but this team is firmly in his grips, and he will not let anybody take it from him unless he takes them down too.
I mean, my favorite quote of the whole thing was Dan saying that that all the owners are like the mafia and everybody hates each other, and another part dunking on them and like, no, we just hate you. We just hate Dan. That was the funniest part of it. But I mean, it's incredible. There's not so much there that is brand new to us, except for obviously some of the Carson Wentz stuff and, you know, him having dirt on the other owners. But there have been allegations of him using these private investigators for all the women who were coming forward about the toxic workplace. So it should be no surprise that he was doing something similar as it started to turn towards looking like the NFL might do something. But to see everything laid out one after another, after another, after another, after another, is overwhelming. And it's just the level of malfeasance that he's brought to this organization, this once proud organization, is pretty unbelievable. But ultimately, I think all the talk about wanting to force Dan to sell and this, that, and the other thing, that part about him having dirt on the other owners is exactly why I don't think they can force him to sell, because there's some guys that are sitting there in glass houses and they don't want to start throwing rocks, because it could bring down the whole thing. And I think Jerry Jones is probably not feeling so comfortable. He's had his own issues down there in Dallas before. And you know that we all know that if Dan's going to go down, he's going to go down fighting. And this is just more fuel to that fire.
The amount of like pettiness and vindictiveness. It is interesting though, when you get into the stadium stuff and how they're going to try to like control the funding. So a lot of people ask me like, hey, what can we do? What can we do? And I don't know that there's really anything you can do, but if he's desperate for a stadium and people keep telling the elected officials don't give him any money, that actually has some impact. Clearly. Like, you know, Virginia was about to do it and then everybody went crazy and they stopped doing it. So I think that's a real way to pressure him, is to tell the politicians not to give him money for a stadium.
Real quick, just on him, I agree that it puts a lot of pressure on him, but, and he certainly wants a new stadium because there's big money in new stadium, but he'll just keep playing at FedEx. You know, like, they'll keep doing the minimal amount that they can do to keep FedEx alive and running.
Yeah, but I think at some point that becomes like, they need 24 owners to vote him out, right? He's probably got dirt on 10 of them. I mean, who knows? But there are some dudes out there that are fairly sleazy. Like go Google Jimmy Haslam, right? But like, whoever the holdouts are, if they just continue to economically underperform, like, a new stadium gives you immediate new revenue. Without it, it just limits your options. Like,
I would just point out,
there was a quote in the article. It was like, there are plenty of owners that are more mad about the financial stuff than they are the terrible workplace culture. So
I would just point out, in the NFL, the Raiders played in the terrible Oakland Coliseum for decades, where it was dilapidated and atrocious, and then the worst stadium in the NFL. And it took a long time for that situation to get itself righted. And for whatever you want to say about FedEx, the Oakland Coliseum was much worse than FedEx Field is.
Yeah, I don't think they're going anywhere. I think they're going to be playing in FedEx for a while.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I think we're both saying.
Yeah, one of the main themes of this is that whatever front the franchise is trying to put up of it being different, Jason Wright being in power, Ron Rivera being a voice, Dan, per a couple people, wanted Carson Wentz and influenced that decision. And Dan isn't letting Jason Wright do the things he wants to do at the stadium. Even when it came to firing Ryan Vermilion, Jason Wright wanted to do it earlier. Dan said, no, it's Ron's power. And then Ron said, no, I'm not going to do it. And then it only happened when Ron was forced to fire him. So look, you could pretend like he's on the yacht. You can pretend like he's completely removed and that Tanya's running the show. No, this is going to be Dan's team. He's still acting as if it's his. They said he's got the direct line from his house, which of course he does. So the name's changed and there's been these penalties, but he's still got his fingerprints up and down this building, up and down this roster, and he always will. And it just really harshens any thought of this ever getting better, no matter what coach is in here. And even if a quarterback's in here, that's good. Like, Dan will find a way to screw things up.
Totally. That's why they don't win and never will. There's too much data. Like, there's too many numbers. There's too many losses to think anything else. And dude, like, the Wentz stuff I find a little interesting, because if it was all Dan, they sure as hell all seem to buy it. And then it's kind of gone sideways with Wentz, and then that makes its way into the story. I just found that kind of interesting that Ron would call out Wentz. The team knew this story was coming. That kind of story has to be vetted through lawyers and give an opportunity to respond. I just find that the whole Wentz, the problem is, for me, is like, we could talk about Wentz. We could talk about this game tonight. On the radio, people were calling in, they should tank. Like, dude, Ron hasn't been a very good coach. His track record now as a talent evaluator, roster constructor, is bad. Does it make any difference? Like, say Dan was to blow out Ron at the end of the season. We have any belief that Dan's going to hire the right guy?
No. Never.
Then what are we doing here? We just hamsters on wheels, man.
Yeah. It's
decades, yes.
Yeah. You want to get really fatal with it? Like, it's kind of, I mean, humans, we all know we're going to die at the end, but we pill around in our stupid little lives. It's kind of what we're doing with the Commanders. We know Dan Snyder, as long as he's up top, Who cares? Who cares about our podcasts and the stupid blogs we write and the radio shows we have? But we gotta pretend like we're doing something important here, so we just go to work every day.
No, I mean that's a real dark spot, Pete.
Sorry, with Dan Snyder, that's where you end up.
I'm not sure he's wrong.
Thing, if it was 100% Dan to go get Carson, you could still have a coach that puts together a team around him that could potentially win. You can still have run an offense that highlights what Carson does well. Do you think Daniel Jones is Brian Daboll's, you know, dream quarterback? No, but he's created a system there that Daniel Jones can succeed in. I think as much as it's such a kick in the groin for Commanders fans here, Dan picked another quarterback. Dan didn't pick Andrew Norwell and Trey Turner to play guard. He didn't pick William Jackson III to pay $40 million to. It's a combination of the two. Ron seemed on paper like maybe he could be the right guy. He just turns out that he hasn't been. It's not, you know, it's such a kick in the pants that Dan is involved in the football portion of it and getting Carson Wentz. But at the same time, the coaching staff, there should be a situation where a coaching staff can step in and create a winning scenario, even if it's not the ideal quarterback necessarily or the ideal player. And this group, this coaching staff hasn't done that. And despite the fact that Carson's underwhelmed, the coaching staff is underwhelmed as well.
Yeah. Everybody is underwhelmed. Well, I'm very underwhelmed.
JP and I's scary, depressing point is that will anybody ever be able to sit on the seesaw with Dan and tip it towards their favor? I don't think so. And like, will they ever have who's going to want to come work here? And people always do. They always fill jobs. There's only 32 teams, but like, it's just so limited what can happen. The success under Dan, the greatest seasons are 10 wins and like one competitive kind of half in a playoff game. And that feels like that's all we're ever going to get.
I remember last year, maybe it was even 2 years ago. I guess it was 2 years ago. Maybe it was last year. Watching a Sunday night or Monday night game with the Chargers and Justin Herbert was playing. And I was watching it with my wife. And she's like, wow, this guy Herbert's good. And I'm like, yeah. She's like, why couldn't we have him? I was like, well, they could have picked him when they picked Chase Young. They picked Chase Young. She's like, she's like, it wouldn't have worked out for him here anyway.
Damn straight.
Like, maybe that's wrong. Maybe we're just buried by the avalanche of shit. But like, it sucks to get buried by avalanches of shit all the time.
Yeah, the shit never stops avalanching. And again, I don't think much of Ron Rivera, but maybe if he had this exact same situation, but the uniforms were different and the team was in the AFC South, it would have worked. I mean, there's been 2.5 decades of different coaches, different quarterbacks, all these combinations. Just sheer math would tell you that one of them would work somehow. But I think the Dan factor overwhelms it all, sucks it all up, and then avalanches it all downhill. And this franchise is stuck. And I'm being a little bit dramatic because we're on a podcast. We want to entertain people. But 94% of me is just like being honest.
I don't disagree that Snyder creates this avalanche that we're all dealing with. It doesn't help when you pick Jamin Davis in the first round. It doesn't help when you, you know, let some of these guys walk and make some of these signings that they've done. It's I don't know. In this particular situation, do I stand for where the team is right now under Ron Rivera? Not as much as I blame some of the mistakes in years past is, I guess, where I'd be at.
You're not wrong about that. Like, the current staff has more to do with how bad everything is than Dan. But Dan is somewhere between the enabler and the puppet master.
Absolutely. And all.
Speaking of the current staff assembling a roster, old Bill Jackson, William Jackson III, is requesting a trade and wants out of town. And it's just a colossal failure for the entire organization.
For a second time.
But this is now, right? This is Ron and Marty and Martin and Jack. either the guy can't play and you gave him too much money, or you signed him and he was good at one thing and you don't let him do that thing, or you signed him and the other parts you have don't let you play man, so you have to play zone even though he's a man guy. Like, however you want to chop this up, it's a failure on them, and it's big and it's expensive.
Yeah, they've reached a point, and Williams hurt, whatever. It seems like this is more they want to trade him and protect him, and they're coming up with this back injury. But they've reached a point where they are going into
– nothing helps trade value like a back injury.
Yeah, right. That really helps you on the market. But regardless, they're going into this game tonight, and they would rather play with a secondary of Fuller, St. Juice, and Rashad Wild Goose than Fuller, St. Juice, and William Jackson, he of the $40 million contract. And it's 17 games last year, 5 games. So it took them 22 games to realize that they cannot even field a team with William Jackson. That is an extraordinary flame out. That makes Josh Norman look like a Ring of Fame member compared to what's happening here. And I think all parties are to blame. And again, just flawed from the beginning. They can tell us all offseason that it's going to be fine. In the second year, he's going to learn. And it took them a month and a week to be like, okay, nope, we need to get him out of here. And whatever value they get, fourth rounder, sixth rounder, who cares? It's not going to be enough. It's never going to be enough.
Yeah. I mean, you guys nailed it. I don't have much else to add about it, except for the only thing I'll give him a hat tip for is he's not going out. He's not going out in flames. He's not DJ Swearingering it and, you know, talking about the coaching staff and the players and the everything else going on. He's been pretty quiet about all this and has kind of gone about his business. But what a spectacular flame out it is for the Commanders, Redskins, Washington football, dealing with big dollar corners for a second time in a row, just coming in. And it's the same, it's like the same issue. You bring in a guy who does one thing and you don't let him do it. But
I would add one caveat to what you said, Mitch.
Please.
William Jackson III is not anonymously or directly taking shots at other players or coaches or anything yet. Yet.
Yeah, but you remember when DJ Swearinger was – when things were going south, I think we were in San Diego, and he's practicing hard enough and coaches don't care or whatever, you know, like
– right.
He went in pretty hard when things went south.
Totally. I'm just saying, just because it hasn't happened yet doesn't mean it won't happen.
I think to close out this show, because I know you guys need to get to the stadium, because lo and behold, there's a football game tonight between two football teams on a football field. Does the Dan Snyder stuff today – change our thoughts on him being the owner eventually, long term, short term, whatever? Mitch, you raised your hand. I'll go to you first.
No, I was gonna say, I thought you were gonna ask about, does it change my thoughts for the game tonight? And it does. I think the Commanders win tonight. I now think the Commanders definitely win tonight. I think it's a little bit of a galvanizing thing for them. As far as him being the owner long term, I think it's right there. I think it's, the words are written out there. This is a snowball that's been going downhill, a shit avalanche that's been going downhill. If it's a port, if the congressional report comes out and it's incredibly damning, and it's, you know, it won't matter that he has dirt on other owners, but the level of damningness in that report has to be off the charts for it to get to a point where you just don't care what he has to say about anybody else. So at the end of the day, I think this is just another blip in the radar of Commanders fan and dealing with the avalanche that Snyder is.
I think it's inching closer, but I still think it's a long shot, but I think it's getting closer. I mean, just the pressure gets so, I mean, now you've got Goodell saying he wants it over, Jerry Jones. Now these are all anonymously sourced, but like, I believe the reporting. I don't think they're making this stuff up.
Yeah.
So, you know, as you start to lose key allies, it becomes far more realistic. As for tonight's game, I can see it having the opposite effect, especially the week Carson has had, where he throws a backbreaker pick to lose the game. Coach calls him out the next day. Coach apologizes to him the day after that. Injury report for his bicep in his throwing arm. And now a report says that the owner traded for him, not the coach. Like, and dude, these guys are just sitting around in a hotel room watching ESPN all day.
I mean, yeah.
Let's hope Carson's phone like fell between the couch cushions or something and he can't find it. Or like he left his room key and he's locked outside and just roaming the halls. Less info, the better for that guy.
You know how mad Ron was about the Jimmy Garoppolo story that came out, you know, the morning of the Eagles game?
This
is times worse because it's the only game going right now. It's Thursday. Everyone's just, that's all everyone's talking about all day today. JP did a 4-hour radio show dedicated solely to Dan Snyder, which is just remarkable. I mean,
we gave away some Wizards tickets.
That's nice. Good.
That's very charitable of you. I'll go and just be quick. I'll be right between you. I don't think this report has any effect on the game tonight. I think that F.A. Obata and Brian Robinson, they don't really know or care about all this context. They just want to go play a football game. As for whether it makes Dan closer to being blown out, I do, just because we're starting to learn that, no, it's not just two or three owners. Like, the entire sport hates this guy. And I think there will just be a movement to be like, whatever he says, we can paint him as the crazy lunatic all on his own. And we can just let him scream away and make a whole scene. And there'll just be so much evidence against him that we can just discredit him. And we'll have a new owner at some point. But until then, not much to be excited about.
We started WFT Pod GoFundMe to buy the team.
Yeah.
Sure. All right. Yeah. We'll be like, we'll make them the Packers.
Send it to my Venmo.
It'll be like the Packers. Yeah. We'll just all own it together.
Right. It'll be a.
Who do you think is more likely to have read that whole encyclopedia story? F.E. Obata or Brian Robinson?
F.E. Obata. Maybe they read it together. I bet they did like popcorn reading where they read one paragraph and then the next guy reads the next paragraph.
Never heard of popcorn reading. All right, let's go. Game tonight. We'll talk to you after the game. What, big man?
That was just a team meeting today. They all went around reading a paragraph from the thing until they got to the end.
You made it as far as beer. It's supposed to be about wins and losses and tackles and blocks and running backs and parlays and beer and hot dogs. It's not supposed to be about an owner that has ruined a franchise.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chantilly Toyota. Let's ride together.